Today we have a discussion on Melbourne Metrics for you, looking at the task force and what the school is up to in the testing phase and what it might mean for students if they're adopted. This episode is brought to you by Lauren Ebsworth, Assistant Principal at the Primary Campus and Chair of the Melbourne Metrics Task Force, and Jane Stewart-Williams, Head of Middle School and member of the Melbourne Metrics Task Force. Come with me into this conversation.
Welcome to Professional Learning, the podcast that's all about sparking courageous exploration. Each week, we'll be diving into a range of topics to prepare and embed our Book of Dreams work. We'll be exploring the skills and strategies in order to implement these ideas.
Hi, I'm Jane.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're here today to talk to you about the Melbourne Metrics. So Lauren, would you like to start and talk to us about where they come from?
So Melbourne University, about 15 years ago, realised that governments around the world and other curriculum authorities started questioning education and especially assessment. They started realising that education is more than the academic domains. And well, from that, they started to think about new policies that needed to include a range of soft skills. And I'm dubious about saying the word soft skills because it actually negates how important they are. But they felt that it would bring a range of competencies, such as collaboration and communication, if they started a piece of work on this. Now, Sandra Milligan, who works at the University of Melbourne in Australia, she's the executive director of the Melbourne Metrics. And her team at the university started to create a bank of assessment tools that would actually assess the broader learning ambitions. So for the last 10 years, Melbourne University's Faculty of Education have been working on this, but with a range of research partners. And those research partners are primary schools, secondary schools, through schools, a lot of them based in Melbourne. And some of our educators have even had the chance to visit, which I think we'll talk about a bit later. Another exciting aspect is that the Melbourne Metrics and Melbourne University have just actually partnered with CIS, so the Council of International Schools. So it's another partnership, as well as the one we're hoping to join, to broaden this information and really help with gathering assessment data that's not just focused on the academics. But let's hear from you, Jane, because I think our listeners would love to know a little bit more about what these complex competencies are.
So the idea of them is that they are about the whole person, really, that they're teachable, that they're observable, that they're learnable, that they're accessible. So they're beyond just words. They're learned within the context of developing expertise in particular domains, both inside and outside the classroom. So people might learn them within lessons, but also in their EPAs. They might do things outside of school and still be thinking about those. And that they're transferable across these contexts. So once you've learned them and once you understand how you are within them, you can develop them in many areas of your life. I think one thing that's quite interesting about them is that they're very much a strength-based approach to learning. So they're about thinking about what you do really well and how you show that in what contexts and in what context you are your best self in these. And the six key areas that they develop as in the Melbourne Metrics. First one is agency in learning, thinking about what you learn, how you learn, who you learn best with, how you become an expertise in particular areas of interest, and really placing the student at the center of that learning experience. Second one's collaboration, thinking about how you work with others towards a common goal. And then there's communication, which is about transmitting, receiving, interpreting information, thinking about ideas, arguments, feelings, beliefs, thinking about how you get those across and how you understand those from other people. A bigger picture one is acting ethically, thinking about your place in the world, really, thinking about what you might do, what your moral principles are, what your ethics are for life, and how you can keep coming back to those to make choices throughout your world experience. Which leads on really to active citizenship, thinking about your place in the community of a school, in the community of a classroom, but also in the wider community of the world and how we strive to make that a better place. And finally, the sixth competency is about quality thinking, thinking through things to achieve better outcomes, thinking about how to work and bounce your ideas off others to think more effectively. So, Lauren, with all that in mind, why as a school have we decided to explore these complex competencies?
So over the last year, our educators have done a lot of work with Sian to really think about the direction of our school and where we're going. And we set about the vote to decide which pathway are we going to take? How is our strategic roadmap going to look? And educators had the opportunity to discuss and vote. And as an educational team, we decided that we were going to go with Dream 2. We felt that was the most important dream to start with on our roadmap. And for those of you who might have forgotten what Dream 2 is, a little bit of a reminder is it was to design Alice Smith effective learning behaviours from early years through to year 13, which support the healthy growth of every learner's cognitive, social and emotional development. And we decided that would be our focus. Now, finding something out there that has the potential to run from preschool to year 13 has been incredibly difficult to find. And I've done a lot of looking over the past year, but we all came to a direction of Melbourne Metrics, and their complex competencies seem to match the dream that we would like to achieve within our school. Also, research by the McKinsey Global Institute looked at the kind of jobs that will be lost in the future, that they won't be needed. So we're thinking about our learners and where their place in the world is. And some of the jobs maybe that we do now or available won't be needed in the future. You know, as things like automation and AI and robotics are going to take hold in those areas. But it has inferred that the type of high-level skills that will become increasingly important as a result are going to include not only technological, but social and emotional skills and higher cognitive skills. So we need to act in education to prepare our learners to have these skills in order for their future lives.
Yeah, I think it's really important that our students leave school not just with a really strong academic passport, but also with an awareness of their strengths and the skills that they need to navigate what could be a potentially quite uncertain future. Thus, we need to sort of capture the soft skills in a way that work with our students and work for our students and helps them to understand the improvements they can make. I think this Melbourne Metrics is an opportunity for them to develop their skills, develop their strengths and build on them further and understand who they are and where they are best and allow these competencies to be a guide for them, really. You know, as a school, many of you have been around here for quite a long time will know that we have been talking about these skills, these ideas, this language for many, many years. And many of you will know that we had the learner attributes, which went right through primary and secondary. And we've had our class values and we've been looking at character strengths. All of that means that we know that all our educators really are in favor of this. We all see the importance of it. And our students really buy into this. I think what the competencies for Melbourne Metrics does is it builds on all of these ideas. And brings them together with an assessment model, which allows us to really dig in deeply into these and really help students understand not just, oh yeah, I'm a good communicator, but how they're a good communicator and when they're a good communicator. And I think that's how it can build on what we do in the classroom and help our educators and our students develop further in this way. So with all that in mind, Lauren, how are we looking to research this in our school at the moment?
So back in October, when Sian introduced the Melbourne Metrics to our educators across the primary and secondary school, we decided to start a task force. I really like that word, task force. Made me feel like, yes, here we go, stepping our final frontier. Let's take our journey forward. Let's really spark some courageous exploration. And actually, we've got an amazing team working behind this. Obviously, you and I, Jane.
Yep.
And we've got Nicola and Mark and James from the secondary campus. And we've also got Rebecca Morley and Sian consulting in. And we've got a learning and innovation team from primary, Marie, Jordan and Rachel as well on this journey with us. So we created some key stakeholders to start this group. And it was really nice to unite together. And we had an amazing first sort of in-person session, where we started to think about the potential that using Melbourne Metrics complex competencies, you know, could have. And instead of thinking about a SWOT, which is quite a traditional approach, we actually went for a SOAR and we thought about the strengths, the opportunities, our aspirations, and potentially the results that if we adopted Melbourne Metrics, what it could bring about. And we all left that session really excited and really, really enjoyed it. And then we started to think, okay, so who can help us with this work? And we asked educators who might be interested in becoming part of a trial group with us. And we were really lucky to have educators from across the primary and secondary school, as well as the different phases from our early years to our juniors to our middle school and our upper school. It was just, yeah, really, really wonderful to have so many educators willing to try something new and see how important it is for the journey of our learners. So at the moment, the task force are just coming to the end of a mini project where we're working on a guide to support our educators who will be running the trial in a couple of weeks. And we hope that our educators who are on the trial are going to be brave enough to possibly adapt and change and explore the way they might facilitate learning in their classroom. And we've actually decided to focus more on one of the competencies, and that one being communication. But this all came from work that started in the summer, actually. And we've taken advice from other schools and educators such as Jane, who've done a few more things. So, Jane, maybe you could tell us a bit more about the Melbourne visit.
I've been fortunate enough to visit Melbourne and visit some of these schools that are trialling. I wasn't the first to go. Sean and James and Nicola and Helen, they all went in the summer. They looked at some schools that are trialling these or that are using these in different areas. And started to explore how it was working there. And that sort of fed into our research. And then I went in December of last year, visited many schools in Australia in Melbourne area for other reasons as well. But partly I was looking into those Melbourne metrics and how they are being doing. What we did notice is that many of the schools that visited are still very much in the early stages of trialing these competencies. And they've developed them in quite different ways. Some have taken 1 year group to focus on and are like maybe choosing year 10, which would be the equivalent of our year 9, really, that year before any exams come in. And they've gone, right, well, this year group, we're going to change the curriculum for that year group and focus purely on competencies there. Others have looked at a whole school approach, but just looking at like one or two competencies. I was fortunate to visit both primary and secondary schools that are trialing it, so could see how it could work across both campuses. And if we do take on the Melbourne metrics, the idea is that in class, it would be fit for purpose from year 3 to 18. So we do need to see that it works across both of those. I was also very fortunate in my time in Melbourne that I was able to meet with Ellen, who's part of the Melbourne metrics team at the University of Melbourne. I was able to ask lots of questions and get further insights into how best to trial the competencies. One interesting point to note is that she stressed that this is very much a strengths-based approach, as I mentioned earlier, and that students might often choose when they get assessed in these competencies based on when they feel they show them best. So this is something that, you know, we probably can't explore fully in our trial, but that we'd really need to have to think about carefully taking forward into a longer term further trial. So as Lauren mentioned earlier, we have decided to go for our trial with one competency. So do you want to tell us about that then, Lauren?
Yeah, it was a great discussion because the university suggests that agency is often the first one that schools look at, or quality thinking. And we started to think about the learners in our school. And we wanted something that was going to be reachable for our educators, that was going to be reachable for our learners. And we decided that communication was the one we wanted to trial. We knew that agency is in our school in certain areas, and we know that other areas of our school are working to develop that. But we felt communication would reach most people. We felt that ensuring that everybody was able to communicate, whether you are someone who speaks multiple languages or whether you're new to English, whether you want to communicate through verbal gestures, what medium you want to communicate, it resonated with a lot of us. And so we decided to go for that one. We've started all this work. We're thinking about where we're going. The trial's about to start. It's an exciting time. But it's always good to think about what might this look like in the future.
I know it is very exciting. And like you say, our task force has got quite excited sort of thinking about this, really. And we do, you know, hope that if we decide to take on these Melbourne metrics and we see it as useful, we want it to be something that can go from early years to year 13. And allows us to really focus on all the competencies as students work to develop these alongside everything else, alongside the new curriculum and pedagogies that have been explored throughout the school alongside this as part of this dream too. And I think all of this, the competencies, the new curriculum, the new pedagogies, all this development is about thinking, are our students 21st century learners? Do they have the skills to go out there into the world, the future employment that they don't even know what it looks like? We don't know what it looks like. So I think that's really the dream, is making sure we are preparing those students. It's possible that this is, we just look at all the competencies and we try them across all the school. It's possible we think about different competencies are more suited to different phases. So by the time they finish school, they will have explored all the competencies, but not necessarily at the same time. Ellen from the University of Melbourne pointed out that in an ideal world, all of them are developed at some point, and that works best in this system for assessment, for reporting, and for personal growth. However, we do need to think about what's manageable for our students, for educators, and what's most fit for purpose for our school, because every setting is slightly different. And talking of our school, what challenges are we having to think about here, Lauren?
Yeah, with all the exciting work that we do have to consider potential challenges. And at the moment, we're considering the Ruby model. So Ruby is the actual assessment platform that we can feed data into. We want to know how user-friendly it is, whether it works with the systems we currently have, and also how much time it might take for an educator to complete the assessment and what we can gain from it as educators. So really looking into detail at that side of things, and we're really lucky to have Jonathan supporting us on that area.
Yeah, I think also we're thinking about professional development. In order to really embed these, there's got to be, educators have got to fully understand how these competencies work and how pedagogy may need to change. And if we do think about that, and if we're, you know, if James and Rebecca, as part of their research, are thinking about which pedagogies would support this best and moving alongside, we would need to make sure we put staff training in, and that is vital, really. I think all the schools I spoke to, and Ellen as well from the University of Melbourne, suggested that coaching, really having those conversations with students, that supports that student agency and them taking control of their development of these skills. So we'd need to make sure all our educators understand how to navigate those conversations effectively with students.
And I think just thinking about that with the students, you know, what sort of time will it take, and how can we ensure that we're getting the best from our learning situations and facilitating this growth in our learners? And we want that engagement, don't we, from both educators and the learners themselves. So lots of things to consider, but we also consider what this could mean for their future. And we keep coming back to that. And that is what really excites us. I don't think any of us got into education to just give a child an A star. Yeah. I think actually I got into education to take on that role as loco parentis, to guide them, to facilitate, to help them become amazing human beings that will be incredible global citizens and will really have an impact on the world. And all those things, this is a way to capture that and to actually validate how important that is in our learners. So
totally. I think, and I think that sums it up really, that it does allow us to do what we all want to do, to really help those students grow and develop and send them out to conquer the world. So in summary, the Melbourne metrics could allow us to formalise the development of these skills in our students. It fits really nicely alongside Dream 2 to help them become fully prepared for their future, whatever that brings. However, we do need to make sure that trial is done thoughtfully and effectively, because there's a lot of things to consider before we commit as a school fully. And we're hoping that this trial period will give us some of the answers we want. We are very excited, as you can hear from Lauren there, and I share that excitement. We really think that the Melbourne metrics could have a lot of potential. The framework it does could enhance learning, it could empower our students, and we're grateful that so many of you have signed up to support us and to help with this trial phase. So thank you. Thank you for your continued support and collaboration with this as we embark on what we think is a really exciting journey.
Let's take this closed system and let's open it.
So a big thank you to Lauren Epsworth and Jane Stewart-Williams for this podcast episode. To find out more, go onto the Professional Learning website and there is a section on there for Melbourne Metrics. Or contact any member of the task force. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.